Once again, I'd like to go in a little different angle. To see Jesus, to see who He is, and see what He can do in our lives, and what for aspect and what for character He can put into our lives, and only Him that can put it there. It's a three-letter word. That only the true Christian can really experience. What is that three-letter word? Joy. Can we sing that little chorus? J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely be. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely be. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must be. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. It's a little word, but it's a very powerful word. J-O-Y. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Turn with me. We're going to go back in time just a month ago. And I shared this message before, and in going back and commemorating the birth of Jesus and reworked it a little bit, we're going to go back there. I can't see why we can't go back to Jesus' birth once again, to Matthew chapter 2. We have two groups of people that came to see Jesus' birth and left the view or left the visit of Jesus' birth with joy in their hearts. Two groups of people that one was renowned and one was of the lowliness of all mankind, and that was the shepherd. Matthew chapter 2, I'd like to look at the shepherds and then look at the wise men and read from that and draw some light and some principles from this. Verse 8 of chapter 2 of Matthew, I'm sorry, Luke. Did I tell you Matthew? I'm sorry. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 2. We'll look at verse 8. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2. Just keep, if you got it there, just keep your finger there, and we're going to come back, go over to that, and look at the wise men. Verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God on the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the angels returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 2. Keep your finger there. We're going to come back to that. We just want to look here a little bit at the wise men. In Matthew chapter 2, as the wise men were going to see Jesus, and how they were stopped by Herod, and Herod wanted to know who they were seeking, and they said who was seeking, and they said, You go find him, and then bring me tidings. Verse 9, And when they had heard the king, they departed, And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their gifts, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they saw Jesus, it brought joy to their hearts. Why? Why did it bring joy in their hearts? Jesus came in a little baby form. Jesus came as a baby. He came for you and put others in our lives for us to experience joy. Did you see? Get that? Jesus came to you. He came, he left the portals of glory for you. And he put others in our lives for us to experience joy. You are the vehicle to bring joy in your life. If we could take this little saying here, and you see where you is. You is on the bottom. You is on the bottom. You are the vehicle. It depends on you, on how you're going to relate to Jesus. You. And you're going to have to use others to get to Jesus. Yourself less, others in between. Jesus first. Songwriter says, have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from your burden you bear? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when naught but sorrow you feel? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears every time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tear from your eyes? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and he will abide till the end? Do you know Jesus? Do you understand Jesus, why he came for you? What is it about you that brings joy? What is it about you? We're going to start at the bottom. Because you're the vehicle. You're the one that's going to count on you if you're going to have joy in your heart. What is it about you that gives you joy? Luke chapter 2, verse 11. We'll tear this verse apart. And unto you is born. Why did the angels in this proclamation to these lowly shepherds who are out there in the field watching their sheep by night? And the angel came to these shepherds and said, unto you was born this night. Why didn't he say unto the children of Israel? Why didn't he say unto Bethel Fellowship? Or to Missouri, or to Pennsylvania. He didn't say that. The angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born. It's personal. He came in existence for you. Little you, little me, is why Jesus came. It's why Jesus came and left the portals of glory and answered the call of his father and said, will you go down there and be the Savior for you? For me. It's a personal gift. This Jesus that was born as a babe was a personal gift for you. It's not just to the Seymour congregation. Yes, but it's for you. I can't emphasize that enough, and I don't think we understand that enough, why Jesus came. Because Paul says it in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou, who is the thou? Jim Stelfox. And put your name there. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, nobody else can do it. Not a soul on this earth can do it. The preacher can't do it. The father and mother can't do it. Anybody else can't do it. It's you. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, those pronouns, put your own name there, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No other way can you be saved unless we confess that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a Savior for me. Personal me. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is it about you that brings joy? So we recognize that he came for personal me. Personal me. What else did he come? Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city a Savior. What is a Savior? For you personally. For you, little me, little you, what is a Savior? We understand what Savior is. He's a Redeemer. What's a Redeemer? Redeemer paid it all. He paid a huge price for me. This little baby Jesus that came to this earth for me paid the ransom. The Redeemer. He's also a forgiver. And we say our sins are way too big. No, they're not. He's a forgiver. He's a sin forgiver. What else is Savior? It's freedom. Glorious freedom. Glorious freedom. That's a Savior for you personally. For you personally. What about you that brings joy? It's because I personally understand the Savior has set me free. Freedom is the Savior. Well, he goes on. Verse 11. He says, a Savior which is Christ. What is it about you that brings joy in Christ? Who is Christ? I've asked that question before. Who is Christ? He's the anointed one. That's what Christ means. He's the anointed one from the Father, the Master, the God of the universe, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. It's the anointed one. We could go on and talk about the anointed one. He's the supernatural one. It's Christ. He's beyond any supernatural hero. It's Christ. He's the Messiah, the great high priest. It's Christ. And he did, came for you. Personal you. What else is it about you that brings joy? Verse 16. As these shepherds were out in the field, they got the proclamation. They got the the news that Jesus was born, and they were looking for this Messiah. And as they left, it says in verse 15, it says that it came to pass when they went away, they said one to another, "Let's go even unto Bethlehem." But notice how they went. They went with haste. They understood that this gift that God had given to them, this great Messiah, this supernatural one, this anointed one, this one that's going to give me freedom, has come for me. I'm convinced that's what the shepherds were thinking. Because those shepherds were looking for the Messiah. And they went with haste. There was eagerness. There was excitement. There was zeal. There was dedication in their hearts. What about you? Do you understand personally that Jesus came personally for you? Each one of you. Are you excited? Are you making haste to run to Jesus, the one that came for you? That what suffered is going to suffer and die for you? Personal me. They went with haste because it's what they had heard about in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And we understand in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel. And what does that mean? As it is interpreted, God with us. Or can we change and not do injustice to the scriptures saying God with me? Personal me. It's what he came for. It's you. What about you that brings joy in this Jesus that was born? What else about you that brings joy as we see these shepherds? It says in verse 20. It says they went out rejoicing. When they seen the Christ child, when they understand and they experienced the Christ child, they went out with joy. Because he understood the first couple qualities. There was new hope. There was new life. There was new zeal. There was new burdens. What was the burdens? Because it says in 20, it says that they went out, shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them, and they went and told others. That was their burden. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's what it's about you. When we can walk in newness of life because of what Jesus came for, it's a personal relationship with this Jesus. It's how we can trust in the shepherd. Well, we go to another next character. What is it about others that brings joy? And we see that's the next one up. But where else is it located? It's in the middle. And so therefore, what is it about others that brings us joy? It's because it's centrality to the Christian. It's centrality to the Christian. We can't bypass it. We can't get around it. It's others that brings. Verse 11 again. For unto you was others in the picture. You it was born for, but it was unto you your life. We're not living out in a desert by ourselves. And God didn't expect us to go out and live in a desert by ourselves. I don't see that in the Scriptures. He wants us to be involved in others' lives. He came to this earth for you, for others. That's what Jesus' goal was. It's not for Himself. It was all for others is why He came. If Jesus would have thought it was for Himself, where do you think He would have stayed? He'd have stayed in the portals of glory. But Jesus personally came for all of you, others. What if Jesus would have said to God, it's not worth it? Humanly speaking. What if God would have came to Jesus and said, Jesus, it's not worth it. I ain't going down for all them sinners. It won't give me any benefit. But He came for others. He gave Himself for others. Verse 12. As the angel said unto the shepherds, he says, shepherds, whenever you go to Bethlehem, this is a sign you're going to find. A lowly sign. You're going to find a baby laying in a hay rack. You're going to find this Messiah. You're going to find this anointed one. You're going to find this supernatural one. You're going to find this Jesus that's going to give us joy. And you're going to find Him in a hay rack, in a manger. Do you think Joseph and Mary knew what they were going to give birth to? I think they did. I know they did. And they go knocking on the door of the inn and they say, can we have room? I'm sorry, there's no room. But I don't see Joseph and Mary saying, innkeeper, you don't know what child's going to be born. You don't know what's going to happen tonight. You don't know that this is going to be the Messiah, the King of the earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords is going to be here. They didn't say that. They went out into the stable. And there He was born in a lowly manger to give room for others. This is our Jesus. Do you know my Jesus? Do you understand who Jesus is and what He's done? He was willing to be born in a manger, be born in a hay rack, and be laid there to make room for others. No humbler place to allow room for others. Verse 17, verse 18. Find the shepherds here again about others. And when they had seen, they made known abroad and said, saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It's all about others. The shepherds understood that they needed to know who this Jesus was. Do you know my Jesus? It was not exclusive. I don't think it stopped at Bethlehem, what the shepherds proclaimed. It was all about others. John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. It's all about others. Verse 19. After the shepherds have left, Mary heard that the shepherds were proclaiming this great Jesus to all those around him. We find here, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her hearts. I don't know if you're like me, But as I looked at that verse, I wondered what was going around in Mary's mind. What was she pondering? And as I thought about that and I meditated upon that and tried to get some glimpse, what was she doing there? I believe she was humbled about this. She understood who this child was. But I think there was some other things that she was pondering about. The one I have is she was pondering them all. That this child that was born of me was for others. We have some mothers in an audience. Lots of mothers. Mothers have children. They bore that child. It's theirs. They nurture it. They nurse it. They take care of it. They change the diapers on it. They take care of it. And when that child goes on and gets married and continues on, it's still her child. But Mary was pondering that this child that was born of me was for others. How can I handle this? Humble me to bring this baby Jesus into the world for others. For others. Second thing I thought, as she ponders these things, is that I will not be the only one to worship him. Now, a mother I know doesn't worship its child, but it's almost next thing to it. Their children are dear to a mother. She carried them. She went pains to birth this child. It's dear to her. But Mary was pondering, this child that was born of me, I'm not going to be the only one that's going to worship this child. It's all for others. Another thing that I thought that she was pondering was that this child is for the world. He said he came for the lost sheep of Israel. It's for the world. He came for cheater Zacchaeus. He came for the man that was stealing Zacchaeus. He came for that little man. And he climbed up in that tree and Jesus said, I must abide at thy house. There Zacchaeus gave his heart to the Lord, to Jesus. He came for him. He came for the wicked, adulterous woman at the well. The world. The one that had five husbands. And the one that she was with was not her husband. Living in adultery, an ungodly woman. This child came for that person. This child came for the man named Legion. He went across the river, across the sea. Man that was bound in chains, fetters, evil, lived in the tombs. Jesus came for that man. We all can classify ourselves in those three individuals. We were all there. He came for you. He came for others. That's what she was pondering, I think. Because that's what Jesus was all about. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 says, And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. All about others. It's our Jesus. Just want you to see Jesus this morning, this evening. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. It's all about others. And being found in fashion, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. It's all about others. He went to the cross for that one lone thief, and that was me. That was me. One lone thief, which was me. Songwriter also says, Man of sorrows, what a name. This is Jesus. It's all about others. Man of sorrow, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know what he's all about? To have others in our lives that brings us joy. Brings us joy. Am I willing to serve others like Jesus? Are you willing to serve others like Jesus? Just get a little personal. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 says, And the king shall answer and say unto you, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. No greater joy is found in serving others. No greater joy. We can't bypass others. Jesus didn't bypass it. Jesus was all about others. Real joy is all about others. Sometimes we want to satisfy our own selves, the you. The you that I have. But it's all about others. John chapter 10, verse 15 says, As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. That's what Jesus is saying. And ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, so I am. Verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. It's all about others. Do you know my Jesus? The test will come. Do I love others? And too many times we want to try to bypass the others. It's not all about me that Jesus came. It's about others. As we look at the little sign up here, this little saying, we have Jesus on the top, we have others in between, and we have the you. Submission to Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to go through others. It's the Arminianism doctrine, can we say? It's not Protestant. Too many times we're finding people that think they can go and put ourselves. Can I draw just a little picture here? Right here's us, you, and this is Jesus. And we want to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a vertical experience. We need to have that. But to prove how deep this vertical relationship is when we place others in our lives. When we have a vibrant relationship with others in between there, then's when we can have a vibrant relationship with Jesus no other way. You wonder why, and we were talking, a brother and I were talking recently, why we connect baptism and church membership together so tightly. It's because it's all about others. It's all about others. When we're willing to submit one to another in a vibrant relationship of love for one another, then we can have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. That's what my Bible tells me. It's all about others. Lastly, is what is it about Jesus that gives joy? And I've been talking about it all evening, about Jesus. How to get to Jesus. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 22, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's Jesus. They called his name Jesus. For unto us is born this day, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's all about Jesus. Do you know my Jesus tonight? Do you know my Jesus? Do you understand my Jesus is wonderful? Do you understand my Jesus is a counselor? Do you understand that my Jesus is a mighty God? Do you understand my Jesus is an everlasting Father? Even though I don't have an earthly father, maybe some of you don't. Maybe you don't have a good father, earthly good father. Maybe you have a good father, but he's an everlasting Father. For all eternity, do you know my Jesus? Do you know that he is the Prince of Peace? The Prince of Peace. The thought of joy. Peace is all about joy. And this Jesus that we're talking about, this Jesus that was born personally for me, and it's all about others, is the Prince of Peace. Is he peace in your heart and life? Has he been the Prince of your peace? Or do you have an empty peace? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Wherefore, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. It don't matter who you are tonight. Don't matter who your father is, who your mother is, who your church affiliation is, who your grandfather is. It doesn't matter who it is. Jesus Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you. It's all about others. It's all about forgiving others. It's all about humbleness. It's all about long-suffering for others. Is what really gives true joy. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Love. Love for a holy God. Love for Jesus. Songwriter says again, I love songs. I love the pen of those songs. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Is he your friend? Jesus is all the world to me. My friend in trial sore, I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and the rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. True to him I'll be. And how could I this friend deny when he so true to me. Following him I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. Brothers and sisters, young people, do you know what eternal joy is all about? Do you have the eternal joy? It says, beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life. Does each one of us understand what eternal life is all about? Are we experiencing eternal life today? Are we experiencing eternal joy today? He's my friend. Do you know my Jesus? That's a plea tonight as we open the invitation tonight. Do you know my Jesus? I'd like to sing one verse of Just As I Am again. For someone here that doesn't know my Jesus and hasn't been experiencing joy. Maybe he's not experiencing true joy because he's left others out of his life. He hasn't submitted to others. He's trying to live the Christian life by himself. He's trying to face Jesus. He's trying to have a relationship with Jesus. He's forgetting about others. You're the vehicle to bring joy into your Christian life. Shall we sing prayerfully, Just As I Am? Stand to your feet. If you feel you need, I'm sure there's plenty of people here that want to pray with you and help you through and find eternal joy.